God of our help of ages past, we're receiving and responding to your call that you have placed upon our lives. Speak to our hearts and continue to let us be good stewards by teaching us how to give our tithes and offerings for the mission and ministry of your church. Be with us as we listen to your preached word and let us respond according to your will and your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let me call your attention to my scriptorial passage text for this morning. Trent read for us from the Acts of the Apostles, the 16th chapter. And the text is also printed on the back of your worship bulletin. Allow me to read the 9th verse of the 16th chapter, the words from the pen of Luke, who is responsible not only for the Gospel of Luke, but also for the majority of the books of the Acts of the Apostles. Listen to these words as he recalls Paul's vision. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to share with you the title of my sermon for this morning, Thank God for First Responders. Thank God for First Responders. Say the title with me. Thank God for First Responders. Amen. Amen. It's always good to have a chance to journey and to go and see another place, either in the United States or out of the United States, but it's always good to be home. Dorothy was right in The Wizard of Oz. There's no place like home. Amen. Home helps you stay grounded, help you stay in your lane, help gives you humility. How many of you have heard the national anthem that was sung by Coach Kenny a few minutes ago? You were here early enough? Good. All right. You know how to come to church on time. Amen. I mean, he can sing, right? Let's give him another hand. He can sing. He's on the coaching staff at Matanzas High School. He normally sings at the home games right before they play the basketball games. And it was a great contact through Brad that Kenny was able to come and bless us. And Kenny was passing after he had concluded singing. Howard, Holly, I got to call him out because he called me out. Howard and I were standing by each other, and I said to Kenny, I said, "Man, that sounds good. That sounds just like me." And to keep me in my lane, that wasn't part of the joke. But to keep me in my lane, Howard said, "You're better than him." Yeah. Yeah. But I want to share from this passage of scripture in a region that we just had a chance to go and to visit and to share and be a part of. And of course, I must also acknowledge her because she was the youngest person on our trip, on our tour. She said, "Oh no, I heard her." She's right there. Look at her. Anna, just raise your hand. All right, there she is right there. She's in the sound booth. A 16-year-old hanging out with people who were from age 55 on up, all the way to 92. 37 of us, and she was holding her own. Give her a big hand. We want to encourage our young people to continue to explore opportunities, to continue to participate. You look closely at this text that we have unfolding before us. I don't know if you ever had a door closed in your face, an opportunity closed in your face, something that you longed for, that you desired for, but yet it didn't come for you. Well, don't feel alone. The Apostle Paul in this text can identify with that. And you don't have to just hang out with Paul. You can also look here, yours truly, or look around you, where we've had doors of opportunities closed in our faces because God had other opportunities waiting for us. This text comes from what is known as Paul's second missionary journey. And just to give you a little background, Paul had three journeys according to the book of Acts. Starts out with the 15th chapter. And Paul's journey starts in chapter 15, but it continues all the way to Acts chapter 28. The Bible reminds us that indeed God will lead and guide us along the way. How many of you believe that? Yeah. God will lead and guide us if we humble ourselves to the Holy Spirit and the will and the way of God. Look closely here in the text, and you will also notice that here we have something that each and every one of us need. Can't live without. We needed it last night. We need it this morning. You're going to need it this afternoon. Don't fool yourselves. I see you, Holmes. But you're going to need it. You might assume that you don't need it, but you do need it. I hope once you receive it that you'll extend it to others. The mayor needs it. The sheriff needs it. I see the police chief back there from Burnell. You need it too, sir. I need it. Our firefighters here and the educators around and our superintendent upstairs and all of those nice young people and our choir right here, you need it. In fact, if I can use part of a jingle, don't leave home without it. Be willing to give it. Look to your neighbor and say, what is it? I'm glad you asked. Help. Help. Look to the other neighbor and say, you need help. Yeah. Yeah. Now don't go there. Don't go there. Don't go there. I better back off of that. Yeah, but we all need it. We all need it. We all need it. Not only do we need it, we also need to give it. Look around this sanctuary, these first responders. They're willing to give help. They won't let us know, but I'm pretty sure around the coffee hour, they have a chance to talk about it. The same people that they go out to help reject them, talk bad about them, use language that's not in the Bible, doesn't matter what translation you have. But we all need it. We all need help. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Phoistia is the Greek word for help. It is willing to do something not for yourself, but to do something for others, to be willing to help someone else. You look at the text, and the text is a very interesting text for several reasons, and allow me to point them out, because the Bible reminds us that Paul had already made up his plans, had already set his agenda, had already prepared to set sail to go to Asia and to proclaim the gospel. And if you look at closely at chapter 16, you'll notice something, that in the midst of Paul planning his schedule, the Bible says, in a vision, he saw a man in Macedonia, and that man was saying, come over, and what? Help us. Help us. Help us. We all need help. We all need to give help as well. Perhaps you're not familiar with this preacher who one day was out. He was in the ocean. He got too far out into the deep. He was out there in the deep. And lo and behold, he needed help. But you don't know, let me put my hands in my pockets, you don't know anybody who need help but don't want to receive help. He needed help. And so lo and behold, here comes a ship. And the ship captain said to him, can we help you? And his only in his own sanctified voice, he said, no, the Lord will save me. Captain had the ship to move on. And then, lo and behold, here comes a fisherman boat. The fisherman said to him, brother, can we help you? He said, no, the Lord will save me. Well, he drowned. And he went to heaven. Oh, yeah, he went to heaven. He made it. And when he got to heaven, he said, God, I preached your word. I shared with folks. I sacrificed. But when I needed help, where were you, God? Why you didn't help me? God said, fool, I sent two boats. I had to humble myself to receive help. To receive help. I want to call your attention to the left, my left. You'll see there a beautiful illustration that we noticed while we were in Greece. And it really depicts the text. It has Paul on my left and the man from Macedonia pleading and asking for help. And of course, you see the background of folks from Palm Coast and St. Luke Church in Orlando. And we all shared together. It was a great, diverse group. We had a chance to hang out and get to know each other. And they're going to come and worship with us as well. But it was an opportunity to learn what God was saying through the Apostle Paul in his holy word. To experience what God had for God's people at that particular time. How indeed the gospel needed to go forth. Let me share these 3 points with you because I want you to hang out with us when we have good barbecue. It's a free meal, so you can't beat that. But let me share these points as we look to the next slide. There are 3 lessons by the Holy Spirit. Opportunities to serve. Look to your neighbor and say, opportunities to serve. Opportunities to serve. Opportunities to serve, to make a difference, to have those opportunities daily. You look closely in this passage of scripture and you'll see indeed it was about opportunities to serve, because all you have to do is just read the text. Let me give you 3 verses right in the 16th chapter. If you start with verse 8 all the way to verse 9 and 10, you will notice it shifts. It makes a shift. It talks about they, because they were already engaged in service. And then it changes in the 10th verse to we. It moves from they to we. The writer engages himself in the text and in the journey. What am I talking about? Well, look closely. Paul and his followers wanted to go one place, to Asia. But the Holy Spirit blocks them. And isn't it good to know this morning that when we're thinking about doing what God doesn't want us to do, if we yield to the Holy Spirit will block us from more trouble than we're already in. You look closely in the text. Paul and his followers, they wanted to spread the good news to Asia. But God wanted them to go to Macedonia, to another part of the region, and to Greece, the northern region, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And then if you look at verse 10, it says we. The writer includes himself. That's Luke. So then Paul, Luke, and check it out, Timothy, because if you look at Acts, the 16th chapter, right at the first verse, you'll see that Timothy comes along with them. Why is that so important? It's so important because Timothy's mother was Jewish and his father was a Greek. It was a sense of diversity that the gospel needed to go forth and to be shared with all people. So you have Paul, you have Silas, and you have Timothy, and they're getting ready to share the gospel. An opportunity to serve. Number 2, submit to God's will. Look at your other neighbor and say, submit to God's will. We have to learn to submit to God's will. How many of you, along with myself, we like to have it our way? But God has a way, even in the midst of our struggling, in the midst of what we're going through, teaching us how to submit to his will and to his way, to be willing to be used by God. Opens yourself up to many different things happening, but long as we stay within the will of God. You look at Paul as he is truly having his own agenda set, his own schedule set, and yet God alters and gives him another plan. It is just like a quarterback who quarterbacking the team and leading his team. He receives a play, but he noticed that play is not going to work, and so he calls an audible. That's what's happening in the text. God is reminding Paul and his followers that indeed you depend on me and rest on me and follow me and know that in my will, everything is going to be all right. You look closely in this text that we have that is unfolding and see how Paul and his followers, in the words of John Wesley, is supposed to go forth to Macedonia and offer them Christ. Oh, they're not going to have a smooth sailing. All you have to do is just stay right in the 16th chapter of Acts, and you'll see those same people whom they came to help, came to serve, talked about them. Those same people tried to hold them back and hold them down. Those same people tried to arrest the disciples along with Paul in order to kill them. And you look at Acts, the 16th chapter, sometimes the vision doesn't match the reality. When Paul got there, it wasn't the man that Paul actually helped. The first person he helped was a woman named Lydia. It was a sister. He helped Lydia. And the Bible says when he offered Christ to Lydia, not only did she receive Christ, but a whole household. Check it out, Acts 16 chapter. They were faced with great oppositions. We as Christians, we're faced with great oppositions. You hear people saying all the time, I'm not going to that church. I don't want to be part of that church. That church can't help me. I don't need the church. And they're looking for a perfect church. But you know my response. If you're looking for a perfect church and you find a perfect church, don't join, because you're going to mess it up. Amen. But look at the text. It was a little girl there who had a demonic spirit. And they were using that little girl in order to receive money from people. And Paul got irritated. He got frustrated. Can you believe that? A saint, Saint Paul, he got frustrated. Said in the name of Jesus, he called that demon out of her. And those who were receiving funds from this young lady got upset with Paul and they wanted to arrest Paul, but God provided Paul an exit of escape. But look closely, the person who housed Paul suffered. Doesn't mean in the text that we won't suffer as Christians, it just means we need to do what God has called us to do. For God is on our side. In fact, I love the way Abraham Lincoln responded. It's right here to the left. My concern, when he was asked which side, you know, if God's on his side, he says, my concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side, for God is always what? Right. He's always right. I don't know about you, but I want to be on the Lord's side. I want to be on the right side. I want to be on the winning side. And it all based upon serving and loving God. First responders are very important. I want to share a name with you. You can Google it when you go home. His name is David Knowles. David Knowles was a retired nurse. How many nurses we have in here? All right, all right. David Knowles was teaching at his home church, CPR, he was teaching that at his home church. While teaching CPR, he had a mild heart attack. But he was able to help those who were helping him save his life. It is a great illustration. You will reap what you sow. If we continue through the spirit of reciprocity to make a difference, to give to others, it'll come back to you. It'll come back to you each and every time. Let me close because I see my time about to run out. And I want to tell this story, and don't get afraid, we're going to lower the lights. It's a story about a boy. And we have a couple of boys walking around here. I don't know why the adults are walking around, but I see a couple of boys here. He was with his family, and they were on a cruise ship. Bless you. And lo and behold, that cruise ship was in a storm, a violent storm. And the only survivor was that little boy. That little boy. That little boy found a rock. He sat on that rock, fear and trembling, just sat there. Lightning crossing the skies. No one there but himself. And lo and behold, how many of you go know that God is a help in the time of trouble? Out of nowhere, he noticed a light. That light was a far distance away, but then that light started getting brighter and brighter. It was a rescue team who was out looking for him. He was looking for him, and they spotted him. And they rescued him. They put a blanket around him. But someone had to ask the question. You're out here all night. Were you afraid? Did you tremble while you were on the rock during the night? That little boy holding that blanket, that little boy said, yes, sir. All night I was in fear. All night I was in trembling. All night I felt I was going to lose my life. But let me tell you what happened, mister. The rock didn't move. I hope you hear me this morning. If you trust in Jesus, Jesus, hallelujah, is a solid rock. Jesus is the rock of ages. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. And they'll know I'm a Christian. How? By my love and your love, in Jesus' name, thank God for first responders. Let's give them a hand.